Hi there, and welcome back to The Actualizing Woman. I'm going to talk to you today about being in the present moment despite what you are planning for the future. If you have, like me, one of those life-changing kind of goals that you're aiming for, a really big deal, then we can certainly forget about what's actually going on now and forgetting to live this bit, the present moment. And of course, and I said I would do this on the last episode, to talk about Eckhart Tolle and what he teaches us. Now, a little bit about him. He's a German-born, I want to say philosopher, but really, I suppose he's a spiritual teacher. And he's also an author. He's written a few books. One of the books I'm going to quote from today, and that's called The Power of Now. I've only just found this book and only just started to read it, so I'm not all the way through. So I'm one of those people that's got about five books on the go. This is one of them at the moment, along with, obviously, the Natalie Rogers book. So it's called The Power of Now, written by Eckhart Tolle. He's an older guy now. He's about 77, 76, something like that. It's had a really interesting life, and do read up on him because he's quite inspirational. He's very gentle, you know, he's on another level. But more about that a bit later in this episode. So if you're planning something big, something long term, something huge even for the future, a real life changing event or change, then I think you might get a lot of value out of today, I'm hoping, anyway. Really, it's about me talking about me, again, sorry, can't help it, and about how I've learned something really recently. Now, the whole point of The Actualizing Woman is to talk about actualization and what that is. And actualization for me is those three things: being authentic, to fulfill my potential, and as a result, find life fulfillment. So this is a fairly important moment in my journey of finding my true self, learning to be authentic and understand myself and who I am and what I need and to develop myself. Hence why I'm doing an episode on it. So, what I found is that even though this trip, not a trip to France, it's an emigration to France, if they'll let me in, has been in the pipeline for a good year now. The goal is set. That's what I'm aiming for. But what I've noticed is, and this is typical of me, that I am super focused on it. I'm very much all or nothing. I go in hard, you know, and I hadn't realised that it is the only thing I'm thinking about. Even when I'm making dinner, I'm thinking, I wonder if I'll take this saucepan to France, or I wonder if I can get hold of cabbage in France. So, yeah, very consuming all the time. Every minute I wake up, I'm thinking, what can I do today to get to France? What can I do today to get to France? And I'm exhausted. I work 7 days a week. Can't help myself. It's ridiculous. I do know that. But I'm so driven in that way. And I always have been. Once I grab hold of something, I'll go for it. The trouble is that hyper focus on something I want, while it is important, it's to the detriment of now. The life I'm living as a 55-year-old, and, you know, the seasons are coming and they're going and they're coming and they're going. And what have I done in that time other than be stuck in my own head with this goal? You know, and I'm missing the life that's happening now. And there's a quote, isn't there? There's somebody said something once. I don't know who, when, why, whatever, but it's a quote that I've kept in my head, and it goes along the lines of, Life is the thing that happens while you're waiting for your life to start. And I think that really is appropriate on this episode, actually. That's what it's all about. And the trouble is, if I'm going to be doing that the whole time in super focus mode, the next thing I'll know, I'm 5 years older and I've kind of missed it all. I mean, I don't even remember my 40s. I have no idea. Little backstory here. When we were kids, me and my brother, let's say we were 9 and 11, 10 and 12, that kind of age. My mum used to do the hoovering on Saturday mornings. Actually, I'm pretty sure she hoovered most days anyway, but our houses were always really clean and tidy. But I remember one day, it's just a childhood memory, that me and my brother were watching some telly, Saturday morning TV. I don't know, what would that have been? Swap Shop? Yeah, something like that, I can't remember. And my mum came in the room and the door would slide open because we had a lovely 1970s bungalow. It was awful. This particular bungalow was. But it has slidey doors. It didn't have openy shut doors. It had slidey doors. And mum would bang open the door and in she would come with this blooming grey old industrial hoover. And I mean an actual hoover. Not just any old vacuum cleaner, a hoover. This thing was big, heavy, smelly and metal and everything. And it made a racket like you wouldn't believe. So we couldn't hear the telly. And, you know, and then she was hoovering in front of the telly and all of this, doing her stuff. And it was like, oh God, we're missing all the important bits on the telly. And she used to say, oh, actually, sometimes she used to swing around and just turn the telly off. And she would say,
for goodness sake, go and do something more valuable with your time.
And I would understand it if we were constantly in front of the telly, but we weren't. You know, we hardly watched any telly after school. Different times back in the, what would that have been, 70s, late 70s, something like that. But we weren't, you know, we'd been to school a week and we just wanted to do that bit where you just sit with your siblings or, you know, and a bag of crisps, maybe some Walkers, where the cheese and onion were in a green packet and the salt and vinegar was in the blue. And I've never got over the fact that they've changed that. But anyway, that kind of thing where you're watching the telly and then you have to go and do something else in your boring bedroom, or we just wanted to just chill out. And so I always felt guilty as a kid and as an adult, actually, if I wasn't studying or working in some way or other. I felt bad the whole time. I felt like I've got to be more. I've got to be doing something, otherwise I get told off. And it turned me into a workaholic. Certainly when I had the chocolate shop, I noticed it particularly there, that I always felt right if I was working hard. It's like a monster almost. You know, nagging, work, more. And I was completely unable to give myself any self-care. Just did not happen. And I learned, I suppose, that the value that I had for myself only came when I was working. That's the only time I felt worthy. And, you know, those voices kind of thing in my head, that pressure. Oh, you should be doing this. Oh, you should be that. Oh, look at you. Anyways, oh, you better get up. Just disappeared. You know, it would shut up. That voice, that nagging inner narrative saying, you're crap, Claire, you're not working, work harder. So I learned that the value only came for me if I was working hard. And I also learned that, of course, there's no value in enjoying yourself or resting or kicking back, you know. And so I've always felt it difficult to settle down and just be in the moment. To just enjoy what's going on now. I've always, and my kids will tell you this, I'm always on. I'm always trying to be better. To try and be impressive. To be good enough and to feel good enough. To be more than you are, Claire. Do better. I remember when I was about 21, 22, something like that, that I was a piano teacher then, and I was peripatetic, so I was driving off to teach these kids piano. And I used to pop in the petrol station, and the lady in the petrol station said to me once, "You're always in a rush." And I was always chasing, and I was pushing all the time. I didn't even know I was doing it. I think with hindsight now, looking back on it, I think I was scared to stop and smell the roses. There was no time to stand and stare. It was just not an option. And as an entrepreneur, this I have to work hard mindset has driven me to quickly find the thing that makes me feel like a real person again. And we joke about it in our family about, oh, that's a real person over there, a real person, you know, a real proper person. I've never felt like one of those, a real person, you know, with a real proper job and somebody of value and, you know, status and all of that stuff. Valuable, I suppose, worthy. And my highly kind of entrepreneurial spirit and creativity constantly has given me explosions of ideas that scream at me. Ideas for businesses. I mean, again, my kids will tell you, she doesn't stop. And I think at the last count, I think there's 18 or so businesses I've started. What I think at the time are really good ideas. And yeah, and I run with it. And like I say, I really focus on those things. And each time I thought, oh, this is the one. This is the business and the idea that will get me back on track. It will get me happiness, actually. I suppose above all, though, the upbringing I've had in that respect has taught me that it's wrong, it's bad, it's actually punishable to stop and rest and to take care of myself and even to take stock of my life and nurture myself. Or is it ADHD? That feeling of being unable to settle, unable to stay focused on the same thing for too long, just constantly chopping and changing. It's exhausting. I don't know if any of you remember a game show that was in the early 80s, I think maybe late 70s, early 80s. It was a game show for kids, and it was with Mike Read. He was in EastEnders for a bit. It was called Run Around. And Run Around was a brilliant game that, if you don't know it, Mike Read would ask the question, and then the answers, like four different answers, would come up on a screen in four different places. And when the buzzer went or whatever, he would say, yeah, run around now. And the kids would all run to which answer they thought was the answer to the question. And it didn't just end there. They used to say, right, if anyone thinks they've got the wrong answer and wants to change quickly, run around again now, something like that. And then all these kids would either jump into a different answer or jump or run to a different answer. And it was like suddenly just all change. That's my life. It's like, oh, that's the answer this week. Oh, but hang on, do you want to change your mind? No, that's not the answer. It's over there. That's where my life is. And I've realised that despite my training in psychotherapy and the advice that I give so many other people on a daily basis about how to look after themselves and how they're important and how their self-care is so valuable and they are valuable and to be patient and kind to yourself and all that stuff, which I heartfelt believe, of course, because it's true, I haven't been considering this for myself at all. It's like it applies to everybody else, but not for you, Claire. You have to work harder. Goodness me. I mean, put the stick down that you're whipping yourself with, Claire, for goodness sake. So more recently, I've learned how important it is to keep the balance, especially after my son, he's nearly 30, said to me recently, but you're missing all the now, Mum. While you're focusing on France and all that stuff, you're missing the now. This bit now. Can you tell he's read the book? You're always in the future. And as soon as he said that, I realised I need to start taking my own advice, which is when he lent me the book by Eckhart Tolle. And I was frustrated when he said about this guy and this book, because I'd already heard of him, and it was a real surprise coming out of my son's mouth that he was already ahead of me. It was like, oh God, okay, it's supposed to be me teaching you, isn't it? And he was teaching his mama, which was lovely. And I'm glad he's read it. I think he's read it anyway. He appears to have read it, you know, in his demeanour and his philosophy himself. He gets it. So I'd already heard of Eckhart Tolle and I'd been listening to his videos on YouTube. But I'm reading his book now, The Power of Now. And I want you to get a copy of it too, especially if you're experiencing the same as me regarding rushing about, you know, trying and not even coming up for air. Eckhart Tolle is an absolute genius. I love the man. And yes, I agree with what he says, but it's not really about his teachings. It's about him and his energy. And I suppose in a kind of way, I see him as a father figure, although he's not old enough to be. Is he? Oh, yes, he is. Hallelujah. There's someone still on the planet that's old enough to be a parent of mine. He's so calm. And he's the antithesis of me and my personality. And he is almost a drug for me. And I'll explain. So, firstly, the YouTube videos I've been watching calm me down like nobody's business. I love to listen to calming sounds, the mesmerizing other sounds that you can hear from ASMR artists send me into orbit like a drug. It relaxes me. It makes me relax my shoulders. My head goes floppy. My eyelids get heavy. It's like, I don't know if you've ever had a drip put into you and you can feel the drug going through your veins as they open up the whatevers and let the drug go in. I'm not medical, can you tell? It's like I can feel a potion of relaxation just stream through every single part of my brain. It's the weirdest thing. And now I found Eckhart Tolle. He's given me that kick as well. So I'm not always listening to what he's saying. I'm just aware of the sounds of his voice and the way he's moving and the mindfulness of him. His nature puts me into the now. And then he's a genius because of the message he's actually conveying, the things he's saying, what it means. Everyone needs to be Tolle'd. So I'm going to quote from his book, The Power of Now, A Guide to Spiritual Enlightenment. And I'm going to read probably about a page out because I think it's an important point. And this passage particularly struck a chord with me. And he explains that there is your life, which is the life you are experiencing in this exact moment right now. And now this now. Oh, and now. And then there's your life situation, which is different. It's all that stuff that is our life situation. So take a moment to get your head around that. You have the in the moment life now, this bit now, and you have your life situation that's kind of going on around you. Okay, so I'll read what he says. It starts with a statement from a person who's attempting to understand Eckhart's point of view. And then Eckhart responds to that statement. So this is page 51, the statement from the person, don't know who it is. I don't see how I can be free now, as it happens. I'm extremely unhappy with my life at the moment. This is a fact, and I would be deluding myself if I tried to convince myself that all is well when it definitely isn't. To me, the present moment is very unhappy. It is not liberating at all. What keeps me going is the hope or the possibility of some improvement in the future. And Eckhart then says, you think that your attention is in the present moment when it's actually taken up completely by time. You cannot be both unhappy and fully present in the now. What you refer to as your life should more accurately be called your life situation. It is psychological time, past and future. Certain things in the past didn't go the way you wanted them to go. You are still resisting what happened in the past, and now you are resisting what is. Hope is what keeps you going, but hope keeps you focused on the future. And this continued focus perpetuates your denial of the now, and therefore your unhappiness. Forget about your life situation for a while and pay attention to your life. Your life situation exists in time, but life is now. Your life situation is mind stuff. Your life is real. Life is now. Your life situation may be full of problems. Most life situations are. But find out if you have any problem at this moment. Not tomorrow, or not in 10 minutes, but now. Do you have a problem right now? So whenever you can, make some room. Create some space, so that you can find the life underneath your life situation. It's a concept that takes time to get your head around. I understand this to mean that while our life situations may be something other than ideal, and the hope for better things in the future can keep us going, the focus on this can consume your now. It steals the nowness of life. While focusing solely on the past and the future and the mind stuff of our life situation, we are missing the only bit that really exists, the now. So yes, my move to France is to find a better life situation. And I believe that change will help me to enjoy the now that will be then. Does that make sense? My future nows. But what I've been forgetting is that I'm missing all the nows that are happening now. I'm not connecting with the life that is happening now. What's been missing is my mindful awareness of this current moment that is underneath all my mind stuff. But I see the life situation as above, all that stuff, you know, friends, family, money, da da da, where you live, all your stuff. All my changing life situation. But here, down here in the moment, down on the ground, you could say, this is where life is actually happening, moment to moment, and I mustn't forget to notice it as often as I can. Because I tell you what, before I blink, I'm going to be 60, and then I'm going to be 70, and unable to remember being present for any of those moments of now. So I'm going to create some space for myself to really become present, to just be, to do that for myself without those feelings that I used to have as a kid and an adult of feeling guilt and shame and that self-imposed pressure. I'm going to connect to the moments, all of them. There's millions of them. I'm going to connect to those and smell the roses. Thanks for listening to me again today. And I'll see you in the next one. Ta-da.